Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk, and I'm the host of NovoEd Talks. And today I am joined by Sheila Jagannathan. Did I say that right, Sheila?
Yep.
Awesome. Sheila is a lifelong learner and is the global head of the Open Learner Campus at an international organization. Sheila, we are so excited to have you on our episode today. So why don't you start by introducing yourself, talk a little bit about your role and your experience in your company.
Sure. Thank you very much and honored to be part of this series. As you said, my main role is a lifelong learner, and I've been serving as global head of an open learning campus at an international organization for the last 26 years. Basically, my role in this job and many others that led up to this job is to serve as the organization's focal point on digital learning and issues at the intersection of technology and capacity building in emerging countries. So I've been fortunate to be recognized as a thought leader, advisor, author, and a forward-thinking senior education colleague with over 35 years of experience in leading capacity building, knowledge management, data, social learning, and transformational change through human capital development across public and private sectors and organizations. I've worked across many, lot of my experience over many decades has been through international organizations, and I've worked across regions providing policy advice and technical assistance on technology-based capacity building programs in South Asia and East Asia, Middle East and North Africa, and also in China. I'm very proud to say that during COVID, actually in 2021, I launched my first book around this area, and it's called Digital Learning for Sustainable Development. And this has been taken quite a good uptake in many organizations. And the actual title is Reimagining Digital Learning for Sustainable Development, How Upskilling Data Analytics and Education Technology Can Close the Skills Gap. And so this was published by Routledge in 2021 and has been recognized as a landmark in the field of digital learning and sustainable development. I'm also on various boards and both university boards as well as skilling boards and so on and so forth. That's a little bit about myself.
Wow, Sheila, that is an incredibly impressive background, and I'm very excited to check out that book. Why don't you speak a little bit about, I'm sure you've had a broad spectrum of learners over the years, but who are some of your kind of current learners and what are some of their biggest challenges?
So There are two types of learners, right? There are staff learners, you know, in corporate world, they are your corporate learners. And then you have your external learners, which in international organizations usually forms policymakers, practitioners, NGOs, private sector, public sector heads, and the general citizen. So there is two dividers, one, the corporate learning staff, and then you have the external learning who equally need to form part of this learning ecosystem.
And what are some of the biggest L&D challenges you have with reaching these folks, and how are you approaching them now?
So this is a complex question, and I will share with you some of the challenges. First off, you know, moving away from learning for learning's sake, but aligning learning to business goals and ensuring that individual and group learning paths support broad business objectives can be challenging because of the diverse career goals and skills of both staff and clients. And customizing the learning needs while aligning to the company's strategic directions requires a very nuanced understanding of both the business goals and the employee aspirations. And so a key strategy involves integrating personal development plans with organizational KPIs, the key performance indicators, and encouraging employees to pursue their learning opportunities, not only for their own professional goals, but also to contribute to the company's success. So I would say, that's one of the key. I'll talk about three. Another thing we're doing is that we're revamping the whole leadership program, and many organizations, both corporate and public and private, are facing similar challenges, because I advise many organizations and I speak at many events, and the same set of challenges keeps appearing. So creating a new leadership training that focuses on human-centered principles demands a shift from traditional training leadership paradigms to ones that prioritize empathy, emotional intelligence, effective communication, and the human element. And this is becoming even more important as we live and evolve in the fourth industrial revolution. And again, incorporating real world scenarios, feedback mechanisms, reflective practices can help leaders listen to and understand and practice human-centered leadership, emphasizing the importance of leading by example and fostering a supportive and an inclusive culture. And the third and the last one, and I by no means these are the only ones, but we have to move on. So I'll talk about cultivating or facilitating a culture of learning. This is a challenge, and this involves more than just providing courses or learning programs and opportunities, but it really requires a fundamental shift in how learning is perceived and valued at all levels of the organization. Key is overcoming resistance to change and embedding learning into the daily workflow, as they say, learning in the flow of work. And so I would say that these are some of the key challenges that face our organization, but what I've heard is many, many organizations today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, those are usually we don't hear someone say that they're really taking on all three, but usually we hear a little bit of at least one of those three categories that you just talked about. With the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted to ensure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for the digital workplace?
Yeah, and this is a really good question. And of course, we're 2 or 3 years past COVID. And also, I'd like to say that given my work, which is at the intersection of technology and capacity and behavior, we've always been a little technology focused. But yet, some of the ways we have adapted is one, digital transformation of L&D content. You know, we needed to accelerate this and make it more accessible, more interactive for remote users, which means taking many of the traditional in-person and transforming them into engaging formats, including multimedia, videos, simulations, and so on. The other thing is the flexible learning options, recognizing the varied schedules and environments and really home circumstances of remote users, we're embracing a more flexible learning approach that takes on more self-paced online courses, on-demand resources, and live virtual sessions that cater to different time zone. And by offering these, people can have more flexibility, enhanced virtual collaboration to replicate collaborative and interactive aspects of in-person into a virtual environment. And interactivity, as you know, is critical. Otherwise, you lose people. So breakout rooms for small group discussions, online collaboration tools for team-based learning, whiteboards for brainstorming. And these are just some examples to maintain and foster that sense of community and engagement among remote teams. Also emphasizing on digital literacy and communication skills, because to be effective, one needs to really ramp up these skills. Offering personalized and adaptive learning paths. Now this comes into the realm of AI. We're not able to do too much, but we've explored with a couple of options. And you know, some of the learning experience systems allows you to bring recommendations or recommendation engines to bring about that personal features. And you know, just like personalized medicine or personalized news, this is becoming very much what the expectation of our learners are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of those things are super important. And like you mentioned, very much so expected by learners nowadays. And they need them really to kind of actually absorb the content that they're being taught. How does your team identify and address skills gaps within the organization?
So this is a really good question. It's quite complex to do, but it's a critical component of ensuring that the workforce remains competitive and capable of meeting current and as well as future demands. So some of the ways, one, of course, is data-driven insights. You know, you leverage a combination of HR analytics, performance reviews, productivity metrics to identify patterns and trends that signal deficiencies, right, across teams, across departments. Then you have the employee assessment, regular employee self-evaluations, competency testing to gather data directly on their own perceptions of their skills and areas they need improvements. Feedback loops, continuous feedback from managers, from peers, from direct reports are invaluable in identifying skill gaps, and also industry benchmarks, right? So by comparing our workforce skill level against industry standards and benchmark, we can identify broadly where we're falling behind and so on and so forth. And the way to address this, of course, would be through targeted training programs, through personalized learning pathways, through mentoring and coaching, through cross-sectoral, cross-functional projects, and continuously monitoring and adjusting.
That's great. And no easy feat, that's for sure. While we're kind of on this topic, talking about, you know, you talked about how you're addressing some of those skills gaps, but what are some of the core KPIs, if you have any? I know you mentioned that earlier too, that you're reporting on to kind of measure all of these things.
Well, I think broadly, effectiveness of learning is gauged through a blend of both quantitative, like completion rates, performance improvements and qualitative feedback. But then you also have the qualitative, quantitative, yes, and then you have the qualitative. But the core KPIs would also include tracking, as I said before, alignment of the learning to the business goals, business objectives, productivity enhancements and innovation, and ways that the training programs contribute to the organizational success and so on. So some of the quantitative measures we use are completion rates, assessment scores, both pre and post, skill application, which leads to performance improvements, and then of course the business impact that we just talked about. But then on the qualitative measures, we also look at participant feedback, manager and peer observations, retention rates of employees and career progression paths, and then the learning culture metrics, such as increased knowledge sharing, which is not easy because we live in a world where knowledge is a precious commodity and a lot of sharing doesn't happen and more voting happens. And so these are also very, very important to impact the culture and to measure.
I love that, the learning culture metrics. That's the first time I think I've actually heard that in one of our episodes, but I think that's so important and trying to measure that and understand that. Do you have an example of a successful case study or an L&D initiative that has significantly impacted employee performance and contributed to the overall success of the organization? This can be something super small, super high level, or anything you think is relevant.
I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'll keep it very, very short. But there was a time in the organization where learning was fragmented. You know, everyone was doing their own learning. There was not a single technology platform. Many people, many flowers bloom. There was, if you ask somebody, is there a learning catalog for this organization? We couldn't give you a single catalog. So learning was fragmented. The quality of learning was uneven. There was no single interface. We couldn't get reports. And sometimes we couldn't even say, here's my catalog of 50 courses, and this is how much I spent. So none of them was possible. On the other side, this is the internal problem. Externally, a lot of our clients and partners were feeling that this organization has so much knowledge to offer because they're international and they bring knowledge and convening power from many, many organizations and countries. And we would really love to have some of that knowledge to be shared with us and also be able to use and customize, and particularly both tacit and codified knowledge. That was about 12 years ago when I helped design a blended learning ecosystem of learning for a very large multinational international organization with country offices in 100 countries with clients all over the world. And we set up what is called the Open Learning Campus, which kind of moved us away from bringing people over face-to-face. This was long before COVID, moved people away from bringing people away from their work to the headquarters for 2 weeks of learning, to really create an ecosystem of learning which had flexibility, which blended in person plus online plus virtual, which we were with a very robust learning catalog and a calendar, and a very effective way of capturing KPIs and metrics, but also of costs. So that's something I'm proud of, and that's grown by leaps and bounds, but that's what I'm proud of.
Yeah, that's amazing. And to do it so ahead, you know, like you said, COVID forced a lot of people into kind of getting to that space, but you were doing it well before then, which is very impressive. What role did technology play in that, you know, continues to play in your L&D programs? And how do you leverage certain tools and platforms to enhance learning and development?
So very, very pivotal role. You know, if you're a geographically distributed organization and with where you want impact and improve, accelerate scale and reduce costs and provide even quality, then technology is going to play a pivotal role in learning and development, serving as a key enabler in enhancing accessibility, flexibility, scalability, personalization of learning experience, because it bridges distances, it reduces costs, and it adds convenience. And then there's the whole tracking and metrics and reporting aspect, which is critical. So in my opinion, technology plays a very critical role for all of these matters, and key highlights are enhancing accessibility and flexibility, on-demand learning, mobile learning, reducing costs, you know, costly travel costs, also design ones reused multiple times, enhancing the learning experience, interactive content, virtual simulations, experiential learning, gamification. And now with AI, and I'm exploring a lot with AI these days, there's so much you can bring in. I told you about moving away from the one size fit all to more personalized learning. Now that's a little ways ahead, but we're already starting to pilot. And then you have AI tutor bots and chat bots. AI plays a huge role in very efficient and cost-effective ways of translating learning. And also AI plays a huge role in learning analytics and decision-making for learning. So all of these are some of the reasons why technology plays a role, but there are more that one can delve into as well.
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, obviously with the advancements in technology over the past 5 years and beyond rapidly evolving, what are some other key takeaways, you know, other than the advancements of technology that you've seen kind of change and shift in the last 5 years?
Landscape of learning and development, especially technology, has undergone significant transformation. And this is largely due to technology, but also workplace demands are changing, and technology gives us new affordances for interactive pedagogy, the learning design, because technology alone cannot do the trick. You need to use it effectively using different kinds of collaborative and social and interactive pedagogy. So some of the key takeaways from the recent evolution of L&D is, one, digital and blended learning are now essential and here to stay. So this, of course, was solidified by COVID. So micro-learning or bite-sized learning is gaining popularity. Short, focused learning nuggets designed for quick consumption is becoming increasingly popular due to the effectiveness, especially for busy practitioners and to improve knowledge retention. Focus on soft skills. I'm sure you're hearing a lot about this, but again, this is tied to the fourth industrial revolution, as more and more, I would say, as AI and other tools are getting more and more involved in the workplace, the human skills need to play a huge role front and center. And this is where the soft skills like critical thinking, communication, empathy, leadership are super important to navigate the complexities. The other thing is learning in the flow of work, integrating learning a week off or go and attend a class and come back, but integrating learning into the daily workflow, you know, rather than separating it out as a distinct activity, helps ensure that learning is directly applicable and immediately beneficial to job performance. And then, of course, we talked about use of AI and artificial intelligence. I won't go more into it. That's what the future, and also immersive learning, you know, metaverse and simulation-based learning. These are not pie in the sky anymore. They're happening. I was in a panel speaking about metaverse the other day, and these are happening today, and they may not be mainstream, but we certainly have to be aware of all this because it, you know, it's coming along quite a bit. Also social learning and collaborative tools, you know, we talked about peer-to-peer learning and knowledge sharing within the organization and tools that allow you to engage with colleagues, to share insights and learn from others is very important. And this leads us to the whole another phenomena we are seeing, we're all part of it, is the emphasis on lifelong learning or continuous learning. I belong to a working group that Harvard and a few other universities are doing, where they're calling it the 60-year curriculum, you know. So people no longer are finishing up their studies by 23, 24, and then retiring at 60. And between the 24 and 60, no learning happens because you've done your bachelor's, your master's at the age of, in your mid-20s. Today, in order to stay relevant, where shelf life of skills is less than 5 years, you have to be in and out, and in and out, and in and out of learning. And that's what the 60-year curriculum is all about.
I love that that title for that is perfect, the 60-year curriculum. I think that's so important and so necessary. You've talked a lot about just some of the key takeaways you've seen. Do you have anything to add to, as the workplace continues to evolve, you know, what the future of L&D looks like? You know, you talked a little bit about the metaverse. Are there any other things that come to mind when you think very forward thinking with L&D?
I think I touched on a lot of the same, which is, again, greater integration of AI and machine learning into learning, the focus on reskilling and upskilling, the focus on, emphasis on soft skills, the more focus on virtual and augmented reality, even sustainability. I didn't talk about this, but I think we're going to see more sustainability and CSR, corporate responsibility in L&D. And this whole culture of lifelong learning, of course, that includes global accessibility and inclusion, which is the DEI and all of that. And of course, data-driven decisions. This is what we're going to see more and more of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll see it become more and more just the norm, you know. Sheila, I'm sure for this last question, you could probably share so much wonderful advice with our listeners. But what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
Okay, maybe I'll say 5 quick points. Embrace continuous learning. Continuously learn something every day, every week. Make it a point. The other thing is, develop emotional intelligence, which means, building trust, listening actively, communicating effectively, respecting the people around you, and empowering and supporting the team. I would put all of that into one bucket. Be adaptable and resilient. The only constant, as they say in business, is change. And so develop a growth mindset, not a fixed mindset, and be flexible to adapt and change. Take care of yourself and ensure that you have the right balance. I think those are the 5 key points I wish that somebody had told me when I started out.
Those are amazing. Thank you so much, Sheila. I feel like I could sit here and ask you questions all day and our learners would just benefit greatly from listening to you speak. But it has been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. So thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners for once again tuning in.
Thank you, Melissa and Novo Ed.